She dreams in color, she dreams in red. Can't find a better man. Can't find a better man.
Well, we've been talking about it since yesterday on the show when news broke while we were on the air that Canadian acting icon Donald Sutherland died. Of course, his actor son, Kiefer Sutherland, was the one who broke the news on Twitter yesterday. And I mentioned earlier in the show that I've been going through a bunch of interviews and award shows and everything where Donald Sutherland appeared. And this is another one that made me chuckle yesterday. So did you know that Donald Sutherland won a Teen Choice Award in 2014 for Choice Movie Villain? And he had this to say of his wife of then 42 years when he won the Choice Movie Villain Award.
Asked me to tell you that she agreed with you. I, on the other hand, do not. I think, on the contrary, that I am very nice, sweet-tempered, and generous. So generous, in fact, that I have brought you souvenirs from Pan Am. They're berries. I wouldn't eat them if I were you.
And it was at that point that he began throwing berries, I'm assuming they're little gummies, into the crowd. And of course, he was channeling the character of President Snow, who really won him over with the younger audience that when he played President Snow in more recent years in the Hunger Games franchise. But joining me now to talk about the life, the legend that was Donald Sutherland is my friend from Toronto, Richard Krause, film critic, of course. Richard, how are you holding up in that heat there? You broadcast from home, right? I hope you have a working air conditioner.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You can hang meat in this place right now. Right now. It is hotter than the sun here right now. It is humid. It's hot. It feels like you need a machete to cut through the air when you go outside. It's supposed to break a little bit later today. But I'm not trusting the weather reports. I'm just staying inside until I see people who don't look like they've just been wrung out and thrown onto the street when I look out the window.
I'm just picturing you peering through, pulling the curtains back and looking at, people. And I'll be hoping for some rain for you. All right, Richard, you've been in this business for so long. I imagine that you must have met Donald Sutherland so many times throughout your career. What are some of the stories and sentiments that you're reflecting back on today?
Well, I did meet him many, many times. And his son, Kiefer, and his other actor son, Rosif, his daughter, Rachel, who produces the new Law & Order show, Law & Order Criminal Intent Toronto. The whole family is pretty much involved in show business of some sort. So inevitably, you're going to run into them. And Donald Sutherland was significant to me for a number of reasons. He is, I think, probably the most versatile actor that was, currently working in the movies, or up until, last year when he kind of stepped away working in the movies. He could do anything. Think about 1976 alone. One year, he made two movies, one with Federico Fellini about the notorious lover and adventurer Casanova, and the other one was Animal House. Both were big hits. Could not be any different from more different than from one another, and he was brilliant in both of them. So an actor who could, as his son said, never be daunted by a role, and he worked steadily. There's almost 200 credits on his IMDb page.
Wow.
From between movies and television roles, and he played everything. So always a treat to talk to him about that. And I loved the movie MASH, and I loved the movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and just so many of them. But more than that, I was born in a place called Bridgewater, Nova Scotia. And if you lived in Bridgewater, Nova Scotia, or anywhere along the south shore of Nova Scotia, there was one radio station. It was called CKBW, and it was on in every house, every car, every store that you went into. And I grew up listening to it, and I was determined to become one of the voices that was on that radio station. So I went, and I just knocked at the door, and I said, I'd like a job, please, and they didn't give it to me, and then I kept trying. And eventually, I got one, and I was on the air, and I was a junior announcer. What I discovered once I started working there is that 30 years before I was the junior announcer, Donald Sutherland had been the junior announcer.
Wow.
He moved to Bridgewater, Nova Scotia from St. John, Newfoundland when he was 12 years old, and like me, listened to the radio constantly, wanted to be part of it, and I eventually asked him about this. So we were in Los Angeles shooting an interview for some movie. I can't even remember which movie it was now, but we're in a studio and a light blows. And back in those days, this is 15 years ago probably, it was a bit of a process to fix those big old television lights. Mm-hmm. So it's taking a little while. We're sitting, we're talking, and I said, you know, we have something in common. We both worked at CKBW, and his face lit up, and he got a huge smile, and he told me the story of how he got the job, and it was how I got the job.
Really?
15 years old, went down, knocked on the door, and said, I'd like to here, and they said, nope, sorry, you're too young. We're not interested. And he stayed in that parking lot for weeks, if not months, talking to everyone who came out and said, wow, I'm going to work there. I worked there, and eventually got the job, worked there for 3 years before he went to the University of Toronto and then off to London to study acting.
You know, oh, I love that story. What a beautiful thing. And I wonder if people still do that, if you can still get a job in this industry like that. Who knows? Maybe I got to ask the station manager around here. Yeah. Richard, if you're just joining us, I'm Tamara Cherry filling in on the Evan Bray Show, and I'm speaking with film critic Richard Krause, of course, about Canadian actor and icon Donald Sutherland. Something that I was struck by and have been struck by when it comes to Donald Sutherland was how proudly Canadian he was. I'm just going to play a quick clip that I played earlier on in the show. This was him at the Governor General's Performing Arts Awards Gala in Canada in 1994, he was introducing the show.
I realized that as Canadians, we need to feel pride, and we have so much to be proud of. On Pruitt feared the beaucoup de choses. I mean, we can be proud of so many things, and that's why we're here tonight. Bienvenue. Excellence.
I love that because, you know, we've had some great, great talent exported from this country, Richard. Mm-hmm. And certainly Donald Sutherland, you know, had homes around the world, but he was always proudly Canadian. And that's kind of rare for people to be that way once they get into show business. Perhaps you can touch on that.
Well, he lived in Quebec for a good chunk of the time and still has a house there. And
That's where his wife was from, right?
Yeah. And so he was an interesting guy, but part of this wave of Canadian actors who left in the 1950s because there was really no industry here to support them. And if you wanted to work, generally speaking, you went to England and you studied at Lambda or, you know, RADA, one of the sort of, you know, high-end acting schools over there, which is what he did. And then he started getting jobs on television. He was on an episode of The Avengers and did all kinds of cool television over there, a bunch of horror movies and some oddities, until he got the job in The Dirty Dozen, which was supposed to be one line.
Right.
And the director, Robert Aldridge, just said, you're just far too cool to only have one line.
I wonder what that one line was. Do you know what it was?
I don't know.
That he performed with such gusto that they expanded the role.
But he get that. And then from that point, that movie became a big hit. So Hollywood was next. And so he moved to Los Angeles. But he always kept a connection to Canada, most often had a place here, certainly had a place and still has in Quebec, and never had an American passport. He always carried a Canadian passport, and he had a green card so that he could work in the U.S., obviously. But he lived about 12 miles away from the U.S. border in Quebec, and he would, instead of very easily getting an American passport because he had homes in the U.S. And was, you know, wealthy enough and all that to quite easily get a passport. He went through the rigmarole of lining up with everybody else, cross-border shopping, and show his Canadian passport and go over and buy groceries across the border.
Oh, I love that. What a beautiful story to end this on. Richard Krause, film critic, I am so grateful for you taking the time in your air-conditioned home in Toronto. Stay cool, my friend. I really appreciate your commentary on this. That, of course, was Richard Krause joining us from the heat dome of Toronto here on the Evan Bray Show, where I'm filling in. I have been filling in all week. We're heading into our last hour. And coming up after the break, it's that time of the year again, the time when every weekend becomes the territory of a certain small town's summer bash in Saskatchewan. I want to know, what is the best place for, you know, summer festivals in Saskatchewan? Call me with your ideas. 1-877-332-8255. I've got three kids I'm going to be hitting the road with over the summer. 1-877-332-8255. The best festivals in Saskatchewan this time of year, here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.